to you. Good morning. May I please report, opposing counsel?
My name is William Oliver Jenkins, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Steve Finkel. This case comes before you on two appeals, which you so graciously consolidated. The first appeal was on the judgment after trial. The second appeal came after the court ordered a reviver due to the appellee's death.
After trial, but before the entry of a judgment,
that
plaintiff, the sole plaintiff, died, correct?
That is correct.
At the time of the purported entry of the judgment, what was the status of the case?
At the time of the entry of the judgment by the trial court, the status of the case was unrevived.
Trial court have any power to enter a judgment after the sole plaintiff has died?
My understanding of the case law, Your Honor, is that it does not. That at the point of the plaintiff's death, the proceedings must stay until there's an order of reviver and someone steps into the shoes of the plaintiff to carry forward.
If the court, you would assert mistakenly, enters a judgment during that intervening period, what does our case law teach us about the effect of a subsequent reviver on the actions taken during the interim?
Well, I believe that, Your Honor, the case law would suggest that the judgment would need to be vacated because it is null and void, and then the order of a motion of reviver and an order would have to be entered, and then the judgment reinstated.
But nothing like that was ever done.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So where does that leave us? Where should this go?
Well, Your Honor, I do believe that the esoteric elephant in the room is that the case needs to be, the judgment of on the court based upon the trial and also the order denying the motion for new trial and the order of reviver, all which occurred in the district court at the time that this we had our appeal perfected, it needs to be vacated and remanded to the district court in order for them to finally put in a valid order of reviver and then a judgment.
Wouldn't it have been more efficient for someone to have called this to the district court's attention?
Yes.
There was no suggestion of death filed.
No. In fact, Your Honor, it wasn't until plaintiff died, I believe, on October 2nd, 2015. Trial was had on August 25th of 2015. The order was entered on November 30th of 2015, way over a month after the plaintiff had deceased.
Stop there. Did the court know of the deceased plaintiff?
I am not aware of the court's knowledge whether or not the plaintiff had deceased or not.
Does that make any difference to the analysis?
Well, I think it does not, because I think once the plaintiff dies, I think it's self-executing. The statutes don't seem to
indicate. Death is self-executing.
Pardon me?
Death is self-executing.
Yes, yes, it is.
Well, counsel, how would the judge have any knowledge, unless they follow the newspaper, that some party in their courtroom died, unless someone takes the time to file a suggestion of death or a motion or something?
Well, I believe, Your Honor, it's the duty of either the attorney for the deceased or an appointed representative or an heir successor to notify the court of this occurrence.
So if that party does not perform that duty, does that have any consequence, any effect on our analysis?
Well, Your Honor, I believe what you would have is a judgment sitting out there that's unenforceable and void. If no reviver were ordered or motioned for and ordered by the trial court, you'd have a judgment out there that is unenforceable. And you don't, and in leading that to the final conclusion, you don't have a final order. And so because there is no final order in any stretch of the imagination here, this court doesn't have jurisdiction over the appeals.
The plaintiff, by proceeding without requesting a reviver and giving notice of death, runs the risk that all the proceedings subsequent to the death of the plaintiff will be null and void. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so when the person died, the matter automatically abated and no further proceedings could be had until the case was revived in the name of the personal representative of the deceased.
Correct.
So at this point, you're requesting that the judgment be reversed and the cause be remanded for further proceedings?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you think there should be some consequence to the plaintiff for not filing a notice of death, a suggestion of death?
The consequence may be within the statute concerning and relative to reviver, where I believe there is a one-year limitation to reviving an action due to a party's death.
And is that abated by legal proceedings?
The case law that I have researched, Your Honor, does not suggest that to be the case. And the statute, I believe, just simply states that the 1 year begins at the time a personal representative or successor could be named in the plaintiff's place.
Are we outside of that 1 year now?
Yes, we are, Your Honor.
Does it make a difference that at some point in time a suggestion of death was filed and a reviver process was instigated?
It may be a relevant fact that eventually a motion for reviver was filed in the trial court as well, I think eventually in this court as well.
Was there any objection to the reviver when it was requested and prior to the order being entered?
Initially, I wasn't the trial lawyer on the case, and upon my review of the documents, there was no objection.
And does that make a difference?
I don't think it does, Your Honor. I think it's the case law is very clear in that once a party has died, a motion to revive and an order to revive has to be in place before any further proceedings, whether or not opposing party agrees to
it. What is your vision of what happens if we remand this to the trial court?
My vision?
Yes.
Is grant. My vision is that if remanded to the trial court, that and the judgment's vacated by this court, that the trial court take up the issue of the motion to revive, institute its order to revive, and then reinstate its judgment based upon the trial proceedings, and we go from there.
How does that help you?
I don't know if it helps us or not, Your Honor. I think it's a jurisdictional issue, and I don't think we can avoid it.
Do you concede that the court could re-enter its judgment once a personal representative is appointed?
I do, Your Honor. I mean, the trial's already been had. The evidence has already been taken in. There is no more further evidence to be taken. There's no further proceedings to be had.
You believe the trial court incorrectly determined the case?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
You believe the trial court correctly determined the case, but for the fact that it didn't have the personal representative as a plaintiff?
No.
Well, you said you revived the judgment. What would you do then?
We would
appeal from that again?
We would have to appeal again. Your Honor, I wish I could say, hey, let's just do it all right here, right now. I wish I could say that. But the statutes and the case law says, hey, you have to have jurisdiction to do anything, to decide anything. And I can't, the court can't get past that, I can't get past that, and so here we're stuck in this Groundhog Day kind of situation, unfortunately, but that is where we're at. And
well, let's assume you don't like the judgment such as was entered, right?
Yes.
If there were a new judgment, would you have any new tools or opportunities if a proper judgment were entered, like post-judgment motions and so forth?
Yes, I believe we would have new opportunities if the judgment were different. Is that your question?
If the judgment were proper.
Oh, were proper? Yeah, I believe we would have opportunity to, again, ask for a new trial. I think we would have an opportunity, again, to appeal and use all the available tools at our discretion post-judgment. I see that I'm out of time. Sorry, Your Honor. If anybody has any further questions, I would just ask the court to vacate the judgments entered in by the trial court after the plaintiff's death and to remand the action for further proceeding.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kinney, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is John Kinney. I'm here on behalf of either the estate of Steve Anderson or Steve Anderson, depending on your decision. Frankly, as I listened to counsel's argument and the questions of the court, I have to say that in my 23 years of practicing before appellate courts in the state of Nebraska, I have never been teed up for a woodshedding quite like what I anticipate I might get this morning. But I do have to say, although it's not quite a part of the record, if you look at Mr. Anderson's testimony and his behaviors during the trial, you might understand my lack of communication with Mr. Anderson after the trial. I literally had no contact with him, and although this is, again, not part of the record, learning of his death several weeks after the fact certainly didn't help me in this case. And so I filed a motion related to the reviver, in my mind, on a timely basis. But certainly I've had clients who I've had much more intimate contact and frequent contact with compared to Mr. Anderson, who is clearly suffering, as you can tell from his testimony, from some mental and physical problems that ultimately led to his death.
I don't care to place any blame on counsel whatsoever. I'm not interested in that. I appreciate what you said, but my question is, there really is no way for us to do anything but vacate that judgment that was entered during the interim, is there?
I agree with you, Your Honor. I think the case needs to be remanded. I think we need to set it in a posture where the trial court can make an appropriate decision on the motion for reviver. It's just unfortunate that all of these motions were sort of done in a flurry of activity, and the timing of the motions became so disjointed that...
But as I understand it, from opposing counsel's argument is that once the case is revived, then the court can simply reinstate its judgment, and then there would be an appeal for that particular judgment on the merits of the case.
Either that, Your Honor, or counsel for the defendant and myself could agree to use the evidence that was adduced at the trial rather than go through all of the machinations again and stipulate to the facts and have the judge relook at the evidence. That might be one option.
Well, maybe that's the really isn't what we're talking about is what's the effect of reviver? The effect of reviver is not to start again. It simply is to restore the status quo ante, which was, in other words, as of the date of death. You already had a matter under advisement, and if it's revived, you still have a matter under advisement, despite the court's whatever it did in the meantime.
Correct. Ideally, there would have been an immediate motion for reviver before the court rendered a decision. Ideally, under those circumstances, that would have been the ideal circumstance. It didn't happen in this case. And my notion and my view of the reviver statute
is that it wouldn't be there unless you could revive the case at the time in the posture of the case that the reviver needs to take place. In other words, there wouldn't be a reviver statute if upon a party's death we just had to start over, file a complaint in the name of the estate and do all those things.
So it's not as horrible as everybody suggests?
It's not, and frankly, I sort of, maybe in an abundance of caution and in a classic litigator's anxiety, I looked at the posture of the case, and if I had to file a new lawsuit in the name of the estate, I still have time.
Well,
so
I thought the concessions made by opposing counsel put you right back in the district court with the judgment now entered in favor of the personal representative of the estate, and then having had that judgment entered because of proper jurisdiction, you then could proceed with an appeal, or he could proceed with an appeal on the merits.
Absolutely, and that I think that would be
can
more...
Can you do that and get on with this case?
I would love to get on with this case.
Not quite so fast, Aaron. That trial judge, because the judgment was of no effect whatsoever, it's still under advisement by the trial judge, and she could change her mind.
That is correct. And
we're all sort of assuming that she's not going to change her mind, but she could.
She could. It has been my experience that judges frequently don't admit that they're wrong. I kind of like my chances, but I think things could go awry, certainly.
Is there any consequence to you for not filing immediately or not filing before the court down below proceeded entering a judgment?
In terms of... the dog ate my homework right now, Your Honor. I have, as a litigator and doing in my practice, I have a high volume practice. I have lots of people that I communicate with, and in this particular case, I lost contact with my client, and it's a trap for the unwary, and maybe having all these young lawyers out here or prospective lawyers, it's a good thing for them to hear. You need to keep in contact with your clients, even if they're not contacting you.
It would have been a much more pleasant experience being here if you didn't have to do this.
Absolutely. There have been some palpitations today I haven't felt for a long time. If there are no other questions, thank you, Your Honors. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
There is not.
There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day. Thank you all very much. That case is In Re Trust of Radford.